Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging in there. We're trying to get as many people here that was at New Orleans. In fact, we started off with just Charlottesville because this is Charlottesville week, Charlottesville month. We're getting as many people in and out as possible. We're going to go continue with Mary Barlow, and then after that, Rand's coming in, and we have the one and only Gene Andrews in. And we might, I bet you Gene knows Don Black, and get them to converse with each other back and forth. That's unique. I love to do unique stuff like that. We're all brothers, and so that's what we're going to do. Without further ado, we have a lady. She's a veteran. I mean, a Cracker Jack veteran. She's been in this movement up to her eyeballs forever and a day, and we're talking about the one and only Mary Barlow, and she was instrumental in rescuing people after the Battle of Charlottesville when it was total chaos up there. She was riding around, and they didn't leave one man behind. Anyway, with that speech there, go ahead and take it away, Miss Mary.
Thank you, Eddie. So, like I was saying, you know, I parked a safe distance away just in case something had happened to get people out, and I look up, and there's just this mob coming at me, and I will never forget this black, huge, huge black guy walking by, and he just right at my eye level looked at me and spit on my window and then went and started hitting the vehicle that I was in and got to the back and just started like hitting the back of the vehicle. And I'm literally just sitting there. I have normal clothes on. I look like a mom, the mom bun. There's no reason for him to be doing this. So I leave the park and I circle back around to where the parking is, and the violence had already started. I mean, these people were not there to be protesters against us. You know, they were there for violence from the get-go. I mean, this was just people walking, you know, from some place down to the park, and I was simply a person sitting there, and it escalated. And when everything happened, I was pulling into our parking where we had been instructed to park, and I will never forget one of our leaders had a person that actually came down with me, or came up with me, if you would. He had a person with a head bandage, and he said, "Get this person up to medical." And I didn't even recognize the person. I had no idea who it was. And it wasn't until after the fact, when I got back to where everybody was staying at, that I realized that it was one of the people that had ridden up to Virginia with us. I mean, he was so unrecognizable. He had been attacked. And I, you know, got him up there, and then I went down to rescue someone else that had kind of been stranded in an area. It was an older gentleman, one of our leaders, and he asked me, he said, "Mary," he looked in the back of the vehicle, he said, "Mary, you can either take us and go ahead and take us back to where we need, you know, where we started at, or we can go find all of our people." And I looked in the back and I said, "Let's go." So we rode around. We were all over the parks, picking up people that it didn't matter what organization on the right that you were with. I had multiple people in our vehicle. There was lots of stuff left in the vehicle when everyone dispersed out of it, but that vehicle remained full from the time the violence, the time everyone was dispersed from the park, until I got back to where everyone was staying at. We just had people in and out, picking up people that had been brutally beaten with blood coming out of their head, to people that was just unrecognizable. It was quite an event. It's something that I had never witnessed. You know, even New Orleans wasn't like that. And I'll never forget, I'd actually gotten out of where I had parked the second time, had gotten out of the vehicle and walked down to, it was either a CVS or a Walgreens that was some blocks from the park where everyone was. And I had walked out, used the restroom and gotten a sandwich and kind of walked to look up. And I saw these people walking down, Antifa walking down, screaming, well, it was a man, if that's what you want to call him, screaming and wailing that he had been, you know, pepper sprayed. And, you know, officers standing there. There were five officers standing against the brick wall across from me with their, one of them had their leg propped on the brick wall. And I will never forget, they were looking up at the violence going on and watching these people take stuff out of, you know, baskets and bags and just throwing it at our people. And they're just standing there. One of them had stated that he wished that they were allowed to do something. And I was so floored. And then as Antifa is walking down screaming that he had something in his eyes, the officer had said, well, it sounds like, mockingly said, it sounds like somebody's off their meds. So the whole thing, I mean, it was crazy to watch the officers just stand and nothing happened. As I was walking back to the van from that CVS or Walgreens, there was one of the organization's people walking up, and he was walking in the middle of the street back towards parking, and he was carrying a flag, and for the life of me, I can't remember what flag it was. I think it had that frog on it that everyone liked at that time. But he was just walking up the street, and as you look up the street, there's an officer, a female officer, standing there middle of the street with her hands on her hips, looking down at the park, looking at him. There's no way. He was literally walking in the middle of the street. And I had stopped because people started walking up to him, and he was a smaller gentleman. And men were walking up to him, hitting him. And so a lady that was in like some exercise attire, she was kind of passing by me, and we kind of both looked at the same time, and she stopped. And we as mothers, because this was a younger gentleman that was walking up alone. I don't know how he got displaced from, you know, his group. But me and this lady started yelling at these men to leave this kid alone, leave this. And he did. He just ran. Once they let him up, he just ran up and around this police officer that literally looked like a statue, just standing there doing absolutely nothing. She was doing absolutely nothing. And I do believe it came out that she was a resource officer at one of the schools that had a shoulder surgery. And she was sent there, but she couldn't do anything because she just had surgery. So she's this woman, this officer is literally watching this young man, this kid, get beat by these grown men, and all he was doing was walking up from the park back to the parking where we were told to park, and it should have been safe, and it wasn't. And, you know, by the end of the night, I can't even tell you how many people was in and out of that vehicle that we were picking up that were, you know, trying to get back to safety. It was numerous, and everyone was incredibly thankful. But the night was really late, and the gentleman, the leader that I had with me, that is the one that said, you know, you can either take us back to where we came from, or, you know, let's go do this. He was a trooper. He got on the phone and found out where people were calling that they were stranded. He was calling the leaders of other organizations and saying, Mary, we need to go here. We would go there. We went into streets that we had no business, you know, being down, if you know what I mean. To pick up people that was trying to get to safety. But it felt as though the entire city was attacking us. It truly did. Even on the outskirts of that central area where we were allowed to be, from that central area where people were trying to, you know, get back to where they'd come from, it felt as though we were being attacked even from the outskirts of our central area. So It was very eye-opening. I know I remember all the way back, you know, home, the all the people in the vehicle. We just couldn't believe the misinformation and outright lies that was being told just on the radio. And then we would stop at, we stopped at a truck stop to get gas, and lies, just lies across the TV. And, I mean, it was an outrage because I know what I saw. I know I saw our people get attacked, police officers saying they wish they could help. I sat and stood and watched an officer watch this young man with a flag that realistically was kind of a joke flag get beat in the street. And it took me and another lady that was running to tell these grown men, including the black man that was hitting my vehicle when I was parked up at the park, to get off him. Hey, get off him. Hey, that's a kid. Get off him. And to see that, to see police officers not do anything, to seemingly be told that doesn't matter what happened, let them get beat. You know, it's just let it happen. You know, it was eye-opening, disheartening, upsetting. The lies that have just continued about men that I know are great. I know that we were why we went there, that we were allowed to be there, and to see our people get attacked with no care.
Miss Berry, we have to go to the break. You've done fabulous. I have no amount of respect for you. I can't tell you how much I've always liked you, respect you so much. Dear Blood River Radio people, we're getting ready to bring another stalwart on in just a minute. We're going to bring Randy Andrews in just a minute. We also got to get Rand Owen going. Be right back, folks.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I think we're going to get it done. We're trying to run in as many people from Charlottesville and New Orleans and Pikeville as possible. We're doing it. And listen, we got the all-time great. None other than the bitter inner Gene Andrews. He's coming up, and he's going to the bitter inner always is a wealth of knowledge and stories, and he's been there, done that. He was Charlottesville with us. And also, we have my little spirit son, James Edwards, back in. He has some specific questions he wanted to ask Gene, and they can banter back and forth. And then we'll get Rand in, and then hopefully we're going to get Don Black in. So with that, I'm going to shut up. James, take it away, son. You got your brother Gene. Gene's there. Yo, you know Gene.
I know Gene just a little bit. Gene, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, James. Good to hear from you again. So, always. Yeah, this is quite a show that we have, try to tell the truth about what happened up there, because the news media lied about it and still lying about it. They hadn't let up on that. So if you get news from ABC, any of the major networks, or CNN, or even Fox, they don't tell the truth either. So it was a setup job.
9 years later, next year, the big 10-year anniversary, and 9 years ago, y'all were coming home. I guess I can liken it to the retreat from Gettysburg, or not the retreat, but just the march back across the Potomac from Gettysburg. Exactly. There was if you had to handicap the victor of the Battle of Charlottesville, I don't think, you know, even in all these years, Gene, I don't think this question has ever been posed in terms of casualties. If you were handicapping the Battle of Charlottesville as an actual battle in war between the two belligerents, the pro-Confederate side and that cornucopia of leftists and freaks and perverts, who would you say got the better of the other side, just in terms of the physicality and the accomplishment of objectives?
We had a lot of WIs, wounded in actions, but they had three KIs, killed in action. And so I guess if you're counting just on casualties, there was that 300-pound girl that attacked that boy's car and claims that he hit her with the car. And it was so hot and humid that day. My clothes were soaking wet. But she died.
God.
The first autopsy report said she died of a heart attack from heat exhaustion. And then, of course, Then they had to come up with a fake second autopsy saying it was she was hit by that car. And that's what happened. Mary was talking about what the nothing job these worthless cops did in Charlottesville, which has really tainted my opinion of police everywhere. But anyway,
never seen anything like it.
Slimeball mayor and that affirmative action, low IQ, darky police chief just told them to stand around and do nothing and let Antifa try to kill as many of us as they could. But they got three of theirs killed. First was that 300-pounder that got died of a heat stroke. And then that night when we got back to the area where we were staying, we heard that the highway patrol helicopter crashed and killed two of the highway patrol. And I'm not ashamed to admit it, a cheer went up because the cops had been against us and allowed all that to happen. And, you know, like they said in Vietnam, payback's a medevac, and they got paid back for what they were doing.
And it's a shame. It's a shame that a cheer went up, because it's a shame that a cheer would have to go up because of the utter abandonment of duty by all levels of law enforcement that day, from the city to the state to beyond. And when I mentioned casualties, I was actually being a little facetious and a little cavalier. I wasn't even thinking of the fact that three people did die that day. I guess I was just thinking about in terms of how history would accurately define the winner in terms of accomplishments or objectives met. I don't know. I mean, would you say it's a draw? Would you say it's a win? I mean, there was some bashing of heads going on.
We never got to speak. Here's the galling thing about it. We played by their stupid, sorry judicial rules and got a permit to be there. And, of course, Antifa and Black Lives Don't Matter to other blacks, they had nothing to be there except a mob mentality. So we played by their stupid rules, got the permit, and we had to park from 11 to 1, and we said, okay, that's fine. We're not going to spend the whole day there anyway. But nobody ever got a chance to speak in defense of General Robert E. Lee's statue. Lee, a Virginian in Virginia, and we weren't allowed to speak up in defense of General Lee. And most of the people that were there that were attacking us, they weren't qualified to clean up after Lee's horse traveler. They were just the garbage of society, but they were paid for by George Soros and that Southern Pervert Law Center. They were paid to be there and attack us, and because we saw the buses that hauled them in there. So don't tell me it was just a bunch of local citizens that came together to try to protest all of this evil conservative people that were there. But one of the points I wanted to make was, there's a friend of mine, Dan Meredith, has a TV show on the local station here in Nashville called Heartland Liberty, and he has some of the best guests that you could ever listen to. They had a lady, Olivia Lapia, on last Wednesday night, and she was talking about how the communists are starting to control the government in this country. And she said she grew up in Colorado, and when she grew up in Colorado, it was a red state. I mean, it was a real cowboy state. But Colorado's turned into a blue state because the communists have infiltrated and taken over these small elections. And she said the local elections, 200 or 300 votes will decide the election, and most of us don't vote until it's a presidential year to vote.
Yeah, that's right.
But they are the left and the socialists and the communists and the progressives, whatever they want to call themselves. They've taken over these governments by moving in and taking over these local elections. And you can see what they've done to destroy New Orleans and Memphis and Richmond and Atlanta. And now we've got a goofball mayor, Freddie the Fairy O'Connell in Nashville. He wants to turn Nashville into a sanctuary city. So that's what's happening. And that's what we need to be aware of. And we need to vote in these local elections because the communists are just taking over. And then they move up to take over the governor, governor's office, or U.S. senator, U.S. representatives. But they get these local elections in there first. And that's what Dan has had on his TV show, are people that are conservatives that are in the Tennessee General Assembly or report on the Metro Council in Nashville and lay it out there on what these people are doing. And we need to realize that's what's going on. So,
well, Gene,
I think Charlottesville was part of that. That was a planned attack against anybody that was going to speak up for Southern history and Southern heritage or conservative. And that's what the communists do, is that they hate the South because the South is the last stronghold of conservatism and Christianity.
And that was brought up here today.
Respect their history, and that's why they want our history destroyed. So we have nothing to stand on. And so that's why they go after anybody that's in a big movement in the South. And that's why they
hate thanks
us.
To groups like this and, of course, your work as the caretaker of the Forest Home and all the education you do through that location and your appearances on this program just about every week and on others as well, including, I mean, you're always such a favorite on TPC. Gene, it's speaking at conferences as you've done, it's all important. Engaging in local elections, important. It's all important. I mean, we have, when it comes time to determine what our course of action is going to be, I tell people the answer is everything and all at once. That includes engaging in politics, trying to infiltrate local seats, but it also includes membership organizations. It also includes a presence on the street, occupying space. It includes all of it. Media, obviously, building our own organizations and institutions. Gene, this whole show, when you're at a live event like this, as you know, it flies by. And I just wanted to ask you this. First of all, again, thank you. And thank you for the memories that we've shared. Of course, you and Eddie, me and you, separately and collectively. I mean, of course, the great tour we did of Fort Pillow with that group. We chartered the bus and we went up there. I'll never forget that day for as long as I live. And there was actually something, and I just only miss the fact that you weren't able to be here with us this weekend, but it's important. I mean, we've got to occupy all of our stations. You're up there in Tennessee occupying an important position. We're down here. But there was something I wanted to ask you, and that is for you to remind me, and I guess everyone listening as well, this is a personal question, but on the stone fence at the Forest Home, what is the quote about him riding from this place?
Oh, the quote on the entrance gate to the Nathan Bedford Forest Home in Chapel Hill, Tennessee. That's his boyhood home there. It's owned by the Sons of Confederate Veterans, so we fly our flags there. We don't have any problem with some goofball mayor taking them down or some wacky city council. So it's a very, if people want to come by there, it's a very, very pro-Southern location. But the quote on the front gate says, he rode from here into the legend of the land. And that came
from here into the legend of the land.
And that came from a painting by Mr. Jack Knox, who used to be the editorial cartoonist on the Nashville Banner back when we had a conservative paper in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And he did a whole series of paintings of historic sites in Middle Tennessee and did one of the Forest Home. And that headline was across the top of the painting. And I had several of those as prints. I collected them as a little boy, and we've had one framed. And then about 10 years ago, his son, Brent Knox, who was an Army combat helicopter pilot in Vietnam, gave us the original of that painting. And that is one of our most prized possessions to have.
I was thinking, you know, here at the Southern Cultural Center, where Eddie and I are, we're broadcasting live 6 hours tonight on the Liberty News Radio Network. TPC coming up for the second half of that allotment. But you walk in, you see huge portraits of Lee and Jackson and Forrest and others. And I saw Forrest, I was trying to recall that exact quote. It is important to have men who set examples, and it's important to have heroes. none greater than him. We have contemporary heroes, too, though, Gene, who set that example. Men like you and Michael Hill, who we're sharing company with and fellowship right now. I hear the music. You know what that means, Gene. You're every bit as much as a radio man as you and as Eddie and I. We'll be right back on Blood River Radio. I'm going to toss it back to the Bombardier.
How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. State police in Michigan have released new details about the victims in yesterday's multi-scene shooting. Bob Agnew reports.
State police have now released information about the ages and genders of the victims of a multi-location shooting in rural Michigan. They say at a home in Lake Township Friday, police discovered three victims who had been killed. They included a 45-year-old man, a 40-year-old woman, and a 16-year-old boy. In a separate home, police say they found another victim, a 53-year-old man. Earlier, police had confirmed the gunman, 39-year-old Chad Hickman, was found dead in the woods after a manhunt nearby, the body of a fifth victim, a 29-year-old woman. Bob Agnew reporting.
President Trump is pushing a tax change that appears to have overwhelming public support and could put more investment dollars back into the economy. Correspondent Bernie Bennett reports.
A McLaughlin poll finds that voters support indexing capital gains taxes for inflation by nearly a 4-to-1 margin, 62% to 16%. Supporters say the change would prevent taxpayers from being taxed on gains caused only by inflation, while freeing up hundreds of billions of dollars in locked up capital for new investments. The poll also shows strong support for expanding the capital gains exemption for homeowners, a move advocates say would encourage seniors to sell their homes and increase housing inventory for younger families. Bernie Bennett reporting.
A shooting at Virginia State University left five people wounded early today. Officials say it happened around 1:30 a.m. outside a residence hall at the historically black university in Chesterfield, Virginia. No arrests were reported, and university officials say the shooting prompted a campus-wide lockdown. The victims were taken to nearby hospitals where one was listed in critical condition. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Larry Elder here. When it comes to supplements, two things matter most: whether it works and whether you can trust it. Rather than just tell you about Relief Factor, we'll let our customers do it. We hear from people every day whose lives have changed, and we'd like you to hear their stories. Doug took Relief Factor for a year before convincing his wife, a special needs teacher, to try it. She'd been using assistance just to move through the long hallway at school. Now she's back on her feet and never had to leave the job she loves. I take Relief Factor every single morning for back issues. I don't take Relief Factor, the issues come back. It's easy to find out if you'll be the next person telling us Relief Factor gave you back what you love. 3 weeks, just $17.76. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. You'll connect with our friendly local team, and they will do everything they can to help. We hope you'll soon be sharing your story with us. Relieffactor.com, 1-800-4-RELIEF.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Mm-hmm. Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Blood River Radio. This is not Eddie Miller, but it's his brother, Rand Owens, and it's so good to be sitting here beside the Bombardier in Wetumpka, Alabama. It's good to be back at this building. It's good to be back with my people, and it's just been a great event here. Great speakers, just great fellowship all together. And I was, first, one thing I want to say is I've heard most of Mary Barlow's witness, you might say, to Charlottesville and New Orleans. And what Mary said, I can tell you, is 110% true. The story she told about the police, the authorities more or less turning their back on people, I can tell you that firsthand, too. After they called for the unlawful assembly in the park in Charlottesville, which we did have a legal permit to be there, they called for an unlawful assembly and more or less pushed everybody back out into that mob of Antifa, all shapes, sizes, and forms of the undesirables. But anyway, and then it was total mayhem. And what I'm getting at is, there come a point, my wife was there, and she didn't go in with us into the park that day, per se, in the column. She was not dressed, she, as far as having any colors on, no flags, nothing. She just had her camera and her sun hat. And she was trying to help a young couple that did have a battle flag. And when they run us out of the park, everybody scattered. And anyway, Patty got separated, kind of. And she started calling me on the phone about how she didn't know how to get back to the parking garage where we had parked our vehicles. Right. And I eventually saw a policeman, and I walked up to him, and I said, "Can you talk to my wife a second, or can you kind of help me figure out exactly where she's at?" And I'll never forget, he looked me straight in the eye and said, "Didn't she know what she was getting into when y'all came here?" And turned his back and never said another word. Mm-hmm. And long story short, the good Lord got us back together. Patty made it back. Patty was not injured, not hurt. And as far as being injured and hurt, getting back to Mary Barlow, there's no doubt in my mind that Mary Barlow saved lives that day in Charlottesville. She was a trooper of the first degree, for sure. And talking about New Orleans, in hindsight, in my opinion, the only difference in New Orleans and Charlottesville as far as the mayhem was the authorities in New Orleans tried to do their job. Well, they didn't try, they did do their job. They had proper barricades, they had the police strung out. In other words, what I'm trying to say, they kept us apart. In Charlottesville, they intentionally put us together. They didn't have any barricades going into the park. Like I mentioned, we had the legal permit to go into. When we topped that hill on Market Street, going down toward that park that day, there was a wave of Antifa, you know, the types I'm trying to describe. And there was probably just that many of them, by the way, in New Orleans at that event. But I thought the authorities might have thought, first of all, that we might not never enter the park. They might have thought we might have cowered away or whatever, but that was not the case. Trust me on that. We got into that park. We went through that mob, got into that park, took our positions and held our ground up until the point that they started calling for unlawful assembly. And that's why I said I think they wanted all that to happen that day. First of all, maybe they didn't think we'd ever make it into the park. Second of all, once we did make it into the park, they had to get us back out there in the streets into the total chaos and mayhem that was going on. So about 45, and this is not an exact, but I'd say about 45 minutes to an hour after taking everything from these people. They've thrown everything at us except hot bullets, the total full Coke cans that's never been opened, bear spray, mace, you name it. They throwed it at us. A lot of lumps and bumps, but there's no doubt in my mind that they wanted all of that to happen. When they called for that unlawful assembly after us holding the ground for 45 minutes in there, getting ready to have our speakers like they were scheduled, like I know I'm repeating myself, like we had a legal permit for them to be there to speak. They called for the unlawful assembly and then pretty much just pushed everybody out into the crowd. And then there was no more organization at that point by us because we went in there organized, but they pushed us out unorganized. And it was just men on their own trying to make it back to the parking garage or to the vehicle, wherever they might have parked. It was little small pockets of men and women together that tried to or did fight their way and make their way back to the parking lot together. And then we were attacked from all sides. But the police, they did not give a rat's flip about trying to keep us apart. They wanted that to happen to us. They probably wanted much, much worse than that to happen.
They wanted us dead, Ren. There's no doubt about it.
I agree with you. They wanted us dead, and we were only by the grace of God that most of us made it out of there without much injuries. Just going back up that Market Street to that parking lot where, you know, that's where they hit Harold Cruz, yes, right outside going into the garage. And, you know, they could have killed Harold. They hit him with that mag light right outside the temple. Harold rode in there with me. He rode back to the compound with me. He had a place on the side of his head right there, big as a baseball. And I'm not exactly, at least as big as a tennis ball, for sure, on the side of his head. And what did they do? They give that guy, what, like $150,000 they raised for him or something?
And they called him, people researching, prove I'm wrong, it was not long after that, they called him DeAndre Harris. With a trunk of paraphernalia, illegal stuff, guns and what have you. He never got any trouble out of that. And I'm going to shut up. And not only that, there was a GoFundMe page for him. And the same old people, the men that wear tiny little hats, the damn Jews, they raised over $250,000 for him in no time. In fact, he was wearing brand new, these $500 shoes, with a new car, the whole nine yards. And they didn't do a damn thing with him when they call him with illegal paraphernalia. But back to you, Ray.
Yeah, and then all of that to remove a monument that was not hurting or harming anybody in any shape, form, or fashion, been there for umpteen years, and then not only was it good enough to remove it, not only was it not good enough to just remove it, but they had to make sure that everybody knew that they destroyed it. It couldn't be donated to go somewhere else or put back up somewhere else. It had to be destroyed, and then that's what they did.
You know, Rand, before I got Blood River Radio, Dr. Hill, I think used to say first. In fact, this is on the Blood River Radio website. You and I have seen it come out, play out. First, they come for the linen, our flags. Then they come for the stone, and then they come for the flesh. And they were after the flesh there, no doubt about it. They're after the flesh now, Rand, in many ways. You might say with a hybrid warfare, with this out of control, just total tidal wave of non-white migrants. They're not immigrants, they're migrants. Merging the military with Israel. It's no merging. Israel is letting us know we're taking over your military.
They just make it illegal.
They've
been doing it. They just make it illegal. That's my opinion.
But, Rand, they want us dead. There's no way. There's no doubt about that.
Well, white Christians, white Christom. I mean, that's the target they want us done away with.
You and I, we represent the most hated group. They hate us more than they do gonorrhea. They hate white, heterosexual Christian males. Mm-hmm. That's the worst. And they hate white, Christian, heterosexual women. Probably hate the men more. But it's obvious to everyone. I mean, anyone that wants to look, you can't deny it and be intellectually honest about that. No doubt about it. But no doubt about that whatsoever. But that had to be, going back to Miss Patty, that had to be the most horrifying experience for a lady like that. I can even a big woman, but Miss Patty's not very big at all. Even an NBA basketball, a WNBA. They had no prayer, no chance there.
I'm not exaggerating. I've never heard the fear in her voice like that phone call was that day. And I hear the music. Hey, it's been great, brother. I love being here with you. Good to see you. And it just a good day. Just a good day.
It's a fabulous day. We got one more. You hit me one, too. I think we're going to see if we can get a hold of Don Black. And he'll be on last on there. But anyway, we're getting ready to go to break. Did you say? Okay, dear Blood River Radio family, this will be the last break. We're finding up the third hour, and we'll be cranking up the political cesspool right after this.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20-plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Tell you some, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to finish up. I tell you, it's been an amazing trip down here. Once again, I know I'm bad about repeating myself, but I didn't even know I was going to be able to do it until several days ago. Gene, my brother Gene, he knows my history in and out with the VA. I keep saying this. Looks like I'm back up on the upbeat again, but once again, I didn't know, and it's been slight. I didn't bring all my equipment down, But I think it's gone great. We had great people to come in and doing a great job. And one of the great people that's just always been here at Icon is still on the air with us. And that's none other than the bitter ender, Gene Andrews. You know, Gene, thank you so much for coming in. But I'm going to ask you a few questions, if you will. I mean, all Lord right. knows, everybody knows that you were there in Charlottesville. You know, the powers that be, the men that wear tiny little hats, these woke white people, I call them race traitors, they've always hated us. And I'll repeat myself one more time. I remember, I think it was Dr. Hill told me, Gene, some time ago, I'm going to say 15 years ago. First, they come, they being our enemy. First, they come, they came for the linen. So they got our linen, they're taking our flags. You can't have a Confederate flag. You can't even say prayers in public schools. God forbid you'd have a Confederate, any type of Southern flag. Then they came for the stone, a.k.a. Gene can tell you all about that, about how they came for the stone, a.k.a. General Nathan Bedford Forrest statue on a grave. They desecrated a grave. And then they're coming, next they're coming for the flesh. But speaking of General Nathan Bedford Forrest, I was there the night they desecrated that grave, and they desecrated it, did. And I've said before that we had Confederate parts there. We had Jefferson Davis parts there. But Gene, since you are the caretaker and you are the Forrest home, why don't you tell them a little bit about what that means to you about our attack on our white Anglo-Saxon Christian heritage and switch the South. In our opinion, nothing represents that in the world any greater than the Old South and Old Dixie, and tie that in with the removal of General Nathan Bedford Forrest statue, which you were a caretaker of, Gene. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. Well, we've said that all along. This is the way the communists are operating in this country as fifth columnists to try to tear this country apart from the inside. And, you know, after the communist Bolshevik revolution in Russia in 1917, after World War One, they tried armed revolutions in several countries in Europe, in Germany and Austria and France and places around. They were unsuccessful. So then they came up with another plan that's been extremely successful, much more than an armed revolution. They called it the Long March Through the Institutions. And from that, the Hamburg School, or Frankfurt School there in Germany, is a Frankfurt Socialist, some kind of doctrine, you know, learning. It's a long name, but it's just been called the Frankfurt School. They came up with the idea to take over the news media, get people involved as department heads in these colleges and universities, take over the entertainment industry, and take over the banking industry, and just control the country from these institutions. And they don't even have to go out and fight and get their communist buddies killed. They just do it peacefully, but a dirty, underhanded plot that they've had to subvert this country. And what they're doing to the South and to our monuments and our statues and graveyards and everything Confederate, that's exactly what their plan has been, and it's been so successful. Because now corporations are afraid to have anything Confederate. Look at NASCAR. NASCAR was born and bred in the South. They've taken the races away from cities in the South and given them to Kansas City and Chicago and out in California. And now they've banned the Confederate flag in any NASCAR races because that symbolizes the South. They won't even allow you to bring your own flag into the infield or anywhere in there, much less them having it. I can remember David Pearson went in a race at Darlington, South Carolina, and he had a Confederate flag in his car and drove the victory lap around the field, not with the checkered flag, but he drove his victory lap around the track at Darlington with a Confederate flag. And Lord of mercy, if they did that now, they'd have the police out there blocking the back straightaway and arresting them and doing everything else. So that's just an example of how they've not only taken over the colleges and universities and turning out two or three generations of these little Marxists, but they've taken over our businesses, and they've got them intimidated and gotten them scared to turn on us and turn on our history and make us just cowards and a bunch of sheep that'll do anything that the communists and the big corporations tell us to do. And it's not just by accident. This is a very devious, very well thought out, very well executed plan that the communists and the socialists and progressives, or whatever you want to call them, have done to this country. And we were talking about, first part of the hour, about how they've moved in and turned red states like Colorado
And we talked about that from that lady, Olivia Lapia, that was on Dan Meredith's show, Heartland Liberty. And it's really interesting for me to go there. I'm not part of the show much. I just help set it up and clean up after it's over. I don't work in a control room or cameras or anything like that. But the people that they have on that show that are work reporting on the government or in the government, Tennessee legislature, to shine a light on these people and what's going on right under our nose. And we conservatives may fight a battle and say, okay, we've got that over. We took care of that. We've gotten rid of this transgender nonsense and men playing in women's sports or whatever. We can go back to work now. But the communists and the leftists and the socialist Democrats, they never give up. They may lose one battle, but then they'll just pull back and slide over and go, you know, around to another battle and take it out. And then they always stick together. The blacks and the transgenders and the liberal, you know, media and everybody, they always stick together and unite against us. And unfortunately, we have so many people that have that Celtic background at the Scots. If we can't fight the enemy, we'll fight each other. And sometimes we cut our own throats, and we have to stop doing that and realize our enemies are going to band together against us and destroy us and do whatever they can to destroy the conservative Christian backbone of this country, and the South in particular, because if they take over the South, the rest of the country is already gone. California, the left coast, New York, the major cities up north, and they're destroying the cities in the South, like New Orleans and Memphis and Atlanta and Richmond and Montgomery. They've been taken over by the blacks and the liberals, and they've turned in most of these cities into unlivable hell holes. And that was something that Sam Dixon talked about at one of the conferences for the American Renaissance. He said that blacks cause traffic jams. And if you think about it, people will come into Memphis or Nashville or Atlanta to work, but boy, they get the heck out of there before the sun goes down every evening. So you have massive traffic jams coming into these cities in the morning and massive traffic jams in the afternoon getting out of there before it gets dark. So that's what has happened to us. And that's what these people have planned on, and we need to realize this is just not an accident. It wasn't just a disorganized mob of Antifa terrorists up there at Charlottesville or the Black Lives Matter. When we were leaving there, Eddie, we saw those buses that had been paid for that brought all these people in. They were lined up two or three blocks away from Market Street, where we had to go down Market Street to get in Lee Park. But those buses were lined up and paid for to be brought in there, and they were charter buses. It wasn't just, you know, somebody coming together with $10 for a bus ticket or something. They brought them in from D.C. and New York and all the real hell holes in the country where the garbage hangs out, and they brought it into Charlottesville. And, you know, Charlottesville wasn't any better. They don't get off the hook on this. Charlottesville is a college town. And every college town is just basically a communist indoctrination center. I know it's that way in Nashville with Vanderbilt and Belmont and TSU, yes. Terminally Stupid University, and some of these other schools there. They indoctrinate the communist doctrine. And Charlottesville is the same way. The University of Virginia is there. And, you know, to tell you exactly what they had out there, I remember when we were coming up Market Street trying to fight our way, we had to fight our way into Lee Park. Because they only left one lane open. They had all these TV trucks in one lane, and that squeezed us down into just one lane, made us easy targets. And it was good that we had somebody like Matthew Goodwin up there in front, these young guys fighting through that to get us in there. Otherwise, us older people would have been targets and probably suffered a lot more casualties. But yes. Anyway, as we were getting in there, this one old scraggy-looking woman, long, stringy gray hair, looked like a leftover hippie. She's holding up this sign that says, love, not hate, love, not hate. And she's hollering at us, F you, get the F out of town, F every one of you, F this, F that. I thought, lady, didn't you ever think about reading your sign that you had there? So, you know, that's the type of hypocrisy that these lefties have, that they are so adamant about destroying anything that's white, that's Christian, that's conservative, and just destroying that and wiping it out and replacing it, they think, with this communist system that's going to be so much better. And they have no clue of what it's like to live in a communist country and how bad things would be if they had to live through that. So that was what happened to us in Charlottesville. And, yep. You know, I know when it was a plan by the police and that slimy Jew bastard mayor and his darky affirmative action police chief to tell the cops to stand around with their thumbs stuck up their rear end and not do a thing until they wanted to force us out of the park and back into that mob of, out on Market Street. We had to fight our way back another three blocks to get back to the parking garage. So hope that'll give people a little information on what really happened in Charlottesville that year.
Gene, you did a fabulous, fabulous job. I'm really looking forward to having you back on. We'll finish up Charlottesville. We'll do some more Charlottesville next month, next week, excuse me, because it is still Charlottesville month. And that's always sacred to people like me and Gene and all the people that were there especially. But if people, we've got the TPC coming up next. Gene, excuse me, James is in the next room, so we'll see you. Don't go anywhere. We're gonna see you same time, same place next week. We'll be in Mifflinburg next week and the same crew. Well, good night, everybody. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, Jeremiah. Thank you, Blood River Radio family. Good night, everybody.